is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down.
Shoot up, bomb.
Here's Carmichael Dave.
Somebody tweeted me yesterday and said all this time, I thought your son was saying, "Shoot the bald man," and talking about
wow.
Jay.
That's dark.
That might be the funniest one.
That's pretty great. Can we get him to do that? Well, shoot the bald man.
Of course, now it would sound like "shoot the bald man,"
which actually makes it more terrifying. Shoot the bald man.
Shoot the ball man. I was talking to Mason yesterday.
Little father-son pep talk.
He's in a new school, and my son does not care.
Did he hit anybody with his underwear?
No, he didn't. he just kind of watches everything and then fits in where he fits in.
Sure.
He's very independent. And so lately...
he doesn't strike me as the type that really like falls for peer pressure.
No. One time I asked my son, "Hey, why don't you have more friends over for sleepovers on the weekends and stuff?" Like, listen, if you're wondering if it's a
smell.
No, he's just so matter of fact. And he said, "Well, there's some people that I like, but I feel like after a little while, I would just have to share everything with them and it would get boring and awkward. I'd just rather see them at school and practice. I don't need to spend a whole day and night with them."
You know what? Like,
he's so just ahead of his years.
But I was just going to say he's mature beyond his years, because that's kind of how adults treat friendship.
That's exactly right. That's why I don't like to host parties. Like, I don't want to worry about everybody having a good time. I don't want awkward silences.
You know what's funny about the hosting parties thing and just being an adult? I'm with you sort of, whereas I don't like to host because I don't like I like to go to bed at my times and do my – I don't like to break my routine.
Right.
And when I host, that means I'm going to have to break my routine. At some point, I'm going to ask you to leave. I just am, and it's so rude. Just,
and I don't want to be in that
exactly.
position. There's always the people that stay long. There's always the people that are allowed get to whatever. And
there's too many people that don't understand social cues of when it's time to go.
No, because it's their night out, and they want to have fun.
And I don't blame them, but, hey, I also want my 8 hours of sleep.
Mason also does not spend any of he hasn't spent any of the money or gift cards he's ever gotten. When we ask him what he wants for Christmas or birthday, I've got everything. I'm fine. Like, he just is. It's almost scary how low maintenance he is. But I am concerned from time to time with him socially, because I put the societal norms on it, and I'm
sure.
Like, oh, you should be doing all this stuff. So his thing is that he found out where the pickup basketball games are, because my son loves to shoot hoops. And so every lunch in the gym or whatever, they have basketball games. He found those last week. And I said, "Well, have you played yet?" And he goes, "No, I just watch. It's fun." And I go, "Well, hold on. Why don't you get in, dude? Are they not letting you in?" He goes,
"Dunk on fools."
He goes, "I haven't asked." And I go, "Well, why?" He goes, they're all too big."
You know,
because he's in the young grade.
Sure.
And they're all older, and he just doesn't want to go out and get dunked on.
I can empathize with young Money Mace there.
But also, it's how you get better.
True.
It's also...
it's how you grow up, how you learn, how to interact with humans.
Yeah.
Good talk for all you parents out there. Thanks for tuning in today. We are here to guide your children.
That is.
Spiritually and physically.
My son and I will be watching the Giants and A's game this weekend. Games, I should say, and enjoying all of that fun stuff. Well, at least Saturday, Sunday when I get back. He'll be on his own tonight. By the way, speaking of kids, shout out to... soccer coaches. It's soccer season right now. My son had soccer practice last night. Shout out seriously to all the moms and dads. And in my son's case, he's not a dad. He just loves coaching soccer. Shout out to all of the volunteers that go to work, come home, quick change clothes, sometimes come straight from work and go out there in the weather
for sure
and drill these kids through their drills and get them ready through the love of just being awesome and helping out. I really do have a soft spot in my heart and admire so many of these people that do that. That being said, and I'm just offering this up. This is not a rebuke. You didn't need to practice yesterday.
kind of on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
I was talking to Jason Ross before I left yesterday, and, you know, he covers Sac State football.
Yes.
They had those kids, the college kids out there, and he's like, dude, it's like the air quality is 156.
It's so
bad. Really bad.
It's so bad. I'm a smoker. I haven't smoked in 3 days. I just go outside and breathe.
And just take it all in.
And you know, listen, with everything going on, and we said this earlier this week, we're always looking for ways to help our friends in the community mm-hmm. that are going through all of this. Every time I come out and I see ashes on my car in the driveway, I always stop. I always stop and think about those ashes are somebody's house. They're somebody's memories and belongings. And not to bring the show down too much, but we will, starting next week, I've been talking with an old friend of mine that helped us with the Paradise Fire that works with the state. And we're going to try to find, we've already found out gift cards, this, that, cash. But anything that these folks need, whether it's the victims of the fire, the firefighters themselves who are heroes, you know, you're always so wonderful in responding when we do stuff like this. We'll try to find a way to help these people out, from our end next week. So stay tuned for that. Anyways, back to baseball. This is a hugely important series, I think, for both teams. You asked, and you said, no fence sitting, which team is this more, which team is this series more important for? I don't think there's an argument. I think this is actually a pretty straightforward answer. This is a more important series for the A's on, I think, every level.
Interesting.
Oh, we disagree.
Okay. Wholeheartedly.
Let me lay out my reasoning. The A's right now, let's just take stock of where they are at. The A's are smack dab in the middle of the wild card race, as you know. But there's a pretty decent chance they don't win the AL West. That's probably the Astros division, unless, of course, the A's get hot. As it stands right now, the Yankees, who are on fire, they have won 7 in a row, 8 of 10. They are in first place in the wild card standings. They are a game ahead of the Athletics, who are a half game ahead of the Red Sox, who have been going in the opposite direction of the Yankees. And the A's are 3 games ahead of the Mariners. I think from a pure playoff position standpoint here, let's now add in the fact that Chris Bassitt's out. One of the leaders of their team and certainly the leader of their staff.
Your all-star.
He is out for the season, and he was out. Dare I say, had Chris Bassitt broken his ankle, torn his rotator cuff, God forbid, that doesn't have the same emotional impact long-term as the, I don't want to go too crazy and talk about PTSD in baseball, but listen, a lot of these guys saw and heard that. You go back and you watch that replay, you can hear the ball hit Chris Bassitt's face. Imagine being on the field and seeing one of your brothers go down there. There's nothing you can do, and you're right there when he's gushing blood. That's something that's stick in your head for a long time. So the A's are in kind of a fragile emotional state, but they're professionals. They've been through things, and I don't doubt that they're mentally strong. But if you come into this series now, you lost 3 of 4 to the White Sox, and you lose 2 of 3 or get swept by the Giants. Now, all of a sudden, you've lost either 6 of 8 or 7 of 8. You're even further back, you would think, of the Astros. And my guess is this. If the A's get swept, or if the A's even lose 2 of 3 in this series, there's a very good chance they're going to be out of the wild card spot. The Giants are amongst the hottest teams in baseball, and they are the hottest team in baseball over the last month, along with the Yankees. They're playing in Oakland, which I know doesn't matter, and they have been winning every series they've been playing. And let's say they lose 2 of 3 or they lose 3 to the A's. Okay. Well, let's say they get swept by the A's, worst-case scenario. If they get swept by the A's and the Dodgers win every single game this weekend, the absolute worst-case scenario for the Giants is that they come into Monday a half game behind the Dodgers. And they also, by the way, are – the Dodgers are – 9.5 games ahead of the second place wild card team. Yes. 10.5 games ahead of the Cincinnati Reds. And by the way, that other team is the Padres. Worst case scenario, the Giants are a half game behind the Dodgers, and they've got around a 9-10 game lead on the Padres. That is a far better position to be in. And by the way, you didn't go through what the A's went through with Bassitt. You didn't go through what the A's have been going through. I believe the A's need this series not just kind of, but far more than the Giants do.
I don't. Here's why.
I'm sorry. We're out of time.
You're a bad person as I go on to defend these gross little orange men because I hate doing
what
it.
But is this?
This is way more important for the Giants, and let me tell you why.
Okay.
The Giants are a World Series contender.
Uh-huh.
And at this point, if you are still like, oh, it's the Cinderella team and blah, 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 once the playoffs start, they're done. Like, if that's your mentality, you're wrong. The A's might make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They might. At this point, you have to look at it in that standpoint. Yeah, 2.5 back of the Astros. I mean, a minuscule lead in the wild card.
Yes.
But
for the second wild card spot. Yeah.
The Giants cannot afford to lose ground to the Dodgers. They can't afford it. Whereas if the A's get swept, we're kind of trending in the direction we know the A's are already going, number one. And when I look at Oakland, I think the White Sox series showed what the A's are. They're a good team. But they are not a team that's going to compete for a World Series this year. I'm sorry, it's not a thing. They're not better than the Rays. They're not better than the Red Sox. They're not better than the Yankees. They're not better than the White Sox. I would dare to say they're not better than the Astros.
Sure, but isn't so much of that who's hot at the right time in baseball?
Yeah, but you're also discounting that those teams won't be hot.
No, I understand that, but how many? You know, last year was kind of an aberration with the Rays and Dodgers, but how often in baseball do we see the hot? I mean, the Giants themselves.
Sure, but we've also seen the A's hot late in the season and it not matter.
That's true.
And when I am looking at it from the Giants, you can't afford to lose ground because you have to win that division. Because what is likely waiting for you is a one-game wild card where we've already seen anything can happen, which is why I hate the stupid wild card game. Mm-hmm. And you're probably looking at a Padres lineup with Yu Darvish getting ready to go at you. And that you can lose that game. Everything that the Giants, this entire story can go away in one game. They have to win the division. They have to win the division. And the Dodgers are red hot right on their heels. They cannot afford to lose this series. Whereas if the A's lose the series, it's kind of like, okay, whatever. The Giants can't afford to lose the series. They cannot afford to lose the series. They cannot give up ground to the Dodgers. They have to win the division. You do not want to walk into that wild card scenario because if the Giants win the division, they've already shown this year they can beat the Dodgers. They can beat the Brewers. They can beat the top teams in the league.
Yeah.
You don't want to have it all go because you have one bad game against the Padres possibly.
I don't disagree with what you're saying, but I think I don't think you're being true to the actual question.
No, I am.
Because you're framing that this is a more important series for the Giants based on the fact that you think the Giants are a better team. I'm saying take the two teams, which is more important for which team. One team is facing not making the playoffs at all. The other team is facing a worst-case scenario of having to win a wild card game.
Right.
Those are two different stakes.
Sure, but again, I have to evaluate where each team is at, though, in that stake, you know? In those stakes, I should say, not actual
stakes.
Well,
one would have an opportunity to win a championship, and the other would have zero opportunity to win a championship.
That matters. In my context, that matters.
The context of the question, to me, is not, that's not true then. It's, you're asking for qualifiers based on that question, which is,
I don't think it's
which team has a better chance of winning a championship.
I don't think it's qualifiers so much as it's just the reality in front of us.
I understand that the Giants would rather win the NL West than have to go through a one-game wild card, albeit at home, but still a one-game wild card game. I of course they're going to have that preference, but I think if you asked any team in Major League Baseball, which is going to give you a better chance at winning a championship, hosting a one-game wild card against whoever or not making the playoffs?
But what if that team's? If we're being honest, what if that team's already chance of winning a championship, the A's, in the standpoint, is regardless if they make the playoffs, it's still kind of close to zero.
Yeah, but I reject that. I reject that.
You really think the A's could make a title run this year?
I think that you're 100% correct that on paper, the A's, and based on history, the A's are not going to win a championship this year. I do not argue that because I don't think it's arguable. But this is also baseball, and you're also talking to a guy. You know, you were asking me about my hat this morning, and you said, boy, how old is that hat? And I said, this hat has seen three championships. Now, am I saying that to brag? Well, yeah, but I'm also mainly saying it because in all three of those years, you and I have talked about it before, and this is arguable, but we both agree on this. The Giants weren't the best team in baseball that year.
No, but they had guys on those teams that knew how to win.
Well, yeah, but guys that know how to win in baseball, generally those guys get those reputations when they win. And
sure.
You have to win. The thing with the A's, for the Giants.
I'm sorry, was Pat Burrell not on a World Series team with the Phillies when he signed with the Giants in 2010?
Well, yeah. You also have a 25.
Was he also not one of the biggest parts of that team?
You also have a, I mean, I'd be happy to go back through Giants rosters of yesteryears.
Wasn't Cody Ross on the Marlins when they won the World Series? I'd have to go back and look. But they, again,
I would be
small transaction of guys who knew how to win.
I would be happy to go back through old Giants rosters that had players on them that had world championships and they didn't win. You're talking about a 25-man roster, and you're talking about pitchers and hitters.
Mm-hmm.
In 2010, the Giants were not the best team in baseball.
Correct.
They got hot at the right time, and they had that je ne sais quoi, that unnameable thing that propelled them. The Travis Ishikawa home runs and the Cody Rosses and all the things through the years that we look back on now and go, if that hadn't happened, being down 2-0 to the Reds and sweeping the rest of that series, all these different
all
things.
All fair stuff.
And I'm saying, before that, the Giants hadn't won a World Series since the 50s, and Giants fans had to go through, listen, the Giants did have the best team in baseball when Barry Bonds was on that team a couple of times, but it just did not work out. You took Russ Ortiz out here, this, there. The Atlanta Braves won 104 games.
But prior to 2002, right, what was the biggest knock on Barry Bonds?
That he couldn't do anything
in the playoffs. He couldn't win in the playoffs.
That's right. But that knock stayed until he did something in the playoffs.
Correct. But my point
is, the A's, it's the same thing.
Think about the Giants of 2010 going in, right? You had a lot of guys who didn't really have playoff experience, whether it was Wilson in the bullpen. Who were your starters that year? Lincecum, Kane. Zito had some playoff experience, but to our point, didn't win.
Yeah.
But they had a lot of young guys that were just really good, and they surrounded them with guys who knew how to win in the playoffs. I don't see anybody on the A's roster. I don't get the same makeup to be able to make a run like that in the playoffs, is my point.
I understand what you're saying, and I'm not just trying to be argumentative.
Oh,
here,
I know you're not.
But I do when it comes to the narrative of he can't win, or he can win, or he's a winner, it's funny because you have to be in those situations, and you have to execute or not execute to earn that narrative. How many listen, Giannis Antetokounmpo can't win. Mike Budenholzer's getting fired. He can't win. Drew Holiday's a whatever piece. He's never won anything.
That was a really bad narrative, by the way.
Of course it was. But 5 minutes ago, Mike Budenholzer was 100% getting fired.
Also,
if Kevin Durant's foot is a millimeter back,
yes,
Mike Budenholzer's looking for a job right now.
100, but we're also comparing basketball to baseball now, and it's not fair. It's apples to oranges when it comes to momentum.
I completely understand that, but we can go back through every year, almost every year. Like I said, last year was almost an aberration.
Oh, for sure. Everything was an aberration, I feel like, last year.
But we can go back through baseball throughout the years, and we can go, well, that was, you know, why aren't the Seattle Mariners should be world champions? They should have a world champion at some point. That team they had with Alex Rodriguez was insane.
Also, a bunch of guys that couldn't win in the playoffs.
But yet, had they, and I know this sounds stupid, had they won, now all of a sudden we're like, oh, well, you know what? They're winners.
But, Dave, they didn't. That's the point.
Right, and I'm saying they're not winners until they win.
And the Giants have a bunch of winners.
Sure, but
the A's don't.
But in 2010, Buster Posey wasn't a winner. Brandon Crawford was not there.
But who was the shortstop? Who was the shortstop?
Edgar Renteria.
Who won a World Series prior to that?
I totally get what
they had those young stars with guys that had won in the playoffs.
So if I go back, if we go through the A's roster right now and find anyone that has championship experience, you're telling me, okay, well, they're going to win the World Series or have a better chance.
They'll have a better chance,
because
yes.
I think they could go through and find all kinds of guys who won a World Series before that would do crap.
Guys that have won a World Series that have been a, like, actual, you know, meaningful piece. But Pat Burrell, meaningful piece.
But now we
Edgar Renteria, meaningful piece.
But now we go back to the original question. You're saying that this is a more important series for the Giants than the A's because you don't think the A's can win a World Series. So you're based, so the A's then shouldn't factor into this question because they're irrelevant. They're not going to win a World Series. You've decided that.
You haven't. So again, why the question's there.
I certainly would not bet on the A's to win the World Series. I would certainly bet on at least four teams to win the World Series.
But you're doing the old Jim Carrey. You're telling me there's a chance.
Because chip in a chair. And when you're in baseball, all you got to do, you just need a chip in a chair. You get hot at the right time. Your pitchers get, it's not the same. And I'm not a hockey guy, but I know enough about hockey to know when they say the goalie's standing on his head. How many times have we seen in hockey through the years, the best team does not win the Stanley Cup the hottest goalie wins the Stanley Cup. There's a little bit of that transference into baseball. If your staff gets hot at the right time, if you've got a couple of hitters that get hot at the right time, Craig Counsell is not going to make the Hall of Fame. And I know this kind of supports your argument about winners, but geez, Craig Counsell in the playoffs is amazing.
David Eckstein, not going to be a Hall of Famer.
Almost the exact, I mean, Counsell
and do the Cardinals win the World Series without David Eckstein on the team? Do they win it without a guy like David Freese on the team?
I certainly don't think so. But at the same time, I don't know that. Listen, David Eckstein and Craig Counsell were not the primary reasons.
No,
that
but
they won the championship, but they're cogs.
But the supporting cast of key cogs that know how to win in those situations in baseball is just so paramount.
And that narrative changes if the A's were to come through and win this year, and now and Sterling Marte bats 406 in the World Series. Well, Sterling Marte is a winner now.
He is,
but he's not now. He's not yet.
No, but
you're nobody walked on the moon until they walked on the moon.
Sure, but the point I'm making is, and you're 100% correct in saying that, but let's say Starling Marte was playing with a David Eckstein-level guy who has had that kind of success. You had a couple of those guys sprinkled into the A's lineup. Don't you think that changes the narrative?
I think there is something to having people around you that have done it and been there before. I won't deny that. I do think there's something there for somebody who has either won a championship or has gone far down the road of
and when we say this again, I want to put, we're not talking about a guy who just sits on the bench during the playoffs. We're talking about guys that have been big time contributors in the playoffs on World Series teams for the Giants. Like I said, Pat Burrell, Edgar Renteria, those are the guys. I think Renteria won the damn MVP, didn't we, in 2010? World Series MVP.
Yes, he did. But one of the biggest heroes of any of the World Series run, one of the most memorable memories of the World Series run was Travis Ishikawa's home run.
Again,
Travis didn't do anything before that. He didn't do anything after that.
But it was also one play.
Right, I understand that. But now that doesn't make to me.
Nobody was looking to add Travis Ishikawa to a roster because of his World Series pedigree after that.
But then turn it around. Will Clark batted over 600 versus Greg Maddux and Mark Grace in the Chicago Cubs-Giants World Series in 1989. There was no better player in the playoffs than Will Clark in that postseason. It wasn't close. I'm wearing his jersey right now. And they got swept in the World Series. To me, when you look at who this is most important for, I hear your argument, but I think the Giants have a better chance of making the postseason if they get swept. I think the A's have a worse. So I think I'm looking at it more binary.
Sure.
And you're looking at it more, and I don't mean this as an insult, narratively.
I'm looking at it more contextualized.
Yes. And maybe we just have different contextions.
Which is kind of the beauty of this whole argument, I think.
Either way you put it, though, there's a lot on the line, and there's a lot of baggage both these teams are going to be hauling both in and out of this series. And if you're hauling a lot of baggage, you probably should do it in a hobbling truck. I mean, let's be honest. Why would we lie? Hoblet right now is giving you phenomenal deals at Hoblet Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Woodland. The summer event happening right now. Did you know Hoblet in little old Woodland, even though it's just 5 minutes from the airport, Hoblet's the number one Ram dealer in all of California, the Bay Area, L.A., San Diego, Sacramento? Nah, it's Hoblet. And maybe it's because they have these deals, $5,500 off MSRP on new 2021 Ram 1500 Laramies, plus thousands more in savings with 249 financing for 84 months. Not just the 1500s, by the way. $3,500 off MSRP on remaining new 2021 Ram heavy duties. And they negotiate these rates. The 2.49% is not an accident. Hoblet does so much business because of you with the banks. They're able to go in there and say, hey, listen, we want a better rate for our customers. And they pulled it off. That's why Hoblet has continually won the J.D. Power Customer Service Award for excellence. It's not a mystery. Search, select, and save at HobletDodge.com. Check out the full selection of Rams available at HobletDodge.com. Hoblet Dodge, best prices, best selection, period. Yeah!
That was nice.
Coming up next.
All righty then. Speaking of Jim Carrey, when we get back, we got What's on Tap. Or excuse me, What's in the Blue Moon, What's on Tap coming up at 8:45. Also, I want to get into this. They can talk about disruptions. A total disruption in the world of sports collectibles. We'll tell you about it next.
When management finally gets tired and just gives up, the Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
Carmichael Dave.
You got a head knock next time to that.
Jay Mars. I was. And then I did the drums and the cymbals.
All I saw was the drums.
You missed the
darn it.
YouTube will have my back. They weren't watching.
Dude, YouTube never watches or listens
they
to the
never,
show.
Never watch. Breaking news real quick, sort of out of the NBA. Hall of Famer Ray Allen, two-time NBA champion, 10-time All-Star, has just agreed to a deal to become the new head coach at Gulliver Prep School in Florida.
We've reached this part of the offseason, haven't we?
I just want to say real quick, I love stories like this. I love when you've got a Hall of Famer, an All-Star, who's going to be coaching kids. I love that. It's giving back. I'm sure there's probably a family connection there or something. Who cares? How cool is that for those kids?
It's great. I would love to go to a school coached by a Hall of Famer.
You're basically getting a free year-long camp with Ray Allen.
Also, just found out today, two birthdays.
Oh?
Number one, Don King turned 90 today.
Don King.
And you know who shares a birthday with him? Our good buddy down the hall, Cody, it's her birthday.
Wait, today's Cody's birthday?
Just got the work email about it.
I've talked to her all freaking morning.
Should we yell happy birthday to her real quick?
Yeah, but my...
Let me make sure their mics are...
What are you doing?
I'm just going to yell it down the hallway. You got to turn your mic on if you're going to talk to me. It still works.
Hey, never mind. Don't do it.
Why?
The door is closed.
Okay.
Management's here.
It's the one thing...
Yeah.
That with the pandemic, so kind of starting to turn the corner eensy bit.
I wished I'd have known
that. Remember when there was no management in the building and we could just run wild and all the parties we were having pre and post show during the pandemic?
Yeah.
Like when we'd come in here and golf balls together.
Can we do the work emails the day before at somebody's birthday?
So you can come in with like treats and stuff?
Right. I would have gotten her stuff and her little puppy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've both complained about that because me and you are definitely the type that like to buy gifts for everybody on their birthdays.
Yes, we are. As a matter of fact, I was talking to my wife last night about what I'm bringing back for you from Mexico next week.
For me?
Yeah, of course. I always bring back. Come on. You
as
were
long
here.
As it's not the Delta, I'm excited.
That's all I'm hoping for. I hope I'm not flying Delta on the return trip.
Hey, now.
You got to get a test before you come back, too, by the way. Did you know that? And you come back from the Mexico. You got to get one of them quick.
Aren't you going to quarantine for a few days? Like, you're going to be broadcasting from the house, right?
That's what should happen. I absolutely should do that. But we're getting a test on the way back or before we leave in order to enter the country. But, you know, then you're on a plane.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't you have to test after you land too, right? You could catch it on the plane.
Do you have to? I don't think you do. I think once you land, you land. Just so you know.
Well, guys, if like KCK is off air for a week, you'll know why.
No, just so you know, I will be testing both prior to and after landing just because the kids and everything. And then I think you're right. We'll run it past Jason Ross, the boss. But that's probably the best idea for me to do the show Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
As long as I'm here running this here board, they're going to allow you.
Yeah. All right. Once in a blue moon.
Once in a blue moon. Brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
You know, the Angels won a baseball game yesterday, as shocking as that may sound.
Yeah.
13-10. This is after they were trailing 10-2 against the Tigers.
Yeah.
That is tied for the largest comeback win in franchise history, which happened on August 29th, 1986.
What?
Against?
Who?
The Tigers of all teams. Ah. A.J. Hinch not having the same success in Detroit that he had in Houston.
No. Which, that must mean he's a really bad manager but was really good in Houston.
Yeah, nope, awful. Awful what happens to a guy when you take away trash cans and talent.
Do you think she'll answer?
Who we calling?
I'm calling Cody.
Oh, nice.
Do you think she answers, though? Because
yeah.
I say she won't.
She'll answer.
No, not only are they in there, but she's not going to recognize the number.
But she'll know it's a 916 number.
Yeah, but who?
Are you calling their hotline or her cell phone?
Her cell phone.
We said cell phone like
could
it's
a 9. Could be a bill collector. Could be some dumb. Well, at least leave her a message. Okay.
You want to sing or you want me to sing?
Why don't we both sing?
Okay. I'll take your cue.
All right. I'll do the countdown, then we'll sing. Cool. Okay. God. Come on. Answering machine.
Please leave your message for... Record your message after the tone. Simply hang up when done. Or for delivery options, press the pound sign.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
Happy birthday to you.
Cody.
Happy birthday to you.
Cody.
Happy birthday, Queen of KNCI.
Yeah, that's Cody.
Happy birthday to you. And your super cool dog who's hella cute.
Yeah, it's for real. If they need to send the emails out the day before, Cody, because we would have brought you stuff. Anyways, we love you. We love seeing you. We love hanging out with you. Happy birthday. I won the bet, by the way. She didn't pick up.
Good point.
But happy birthday.
And, oh, by the way, we're live on air right now. So yeah, we're live. This voice sorry. Now.
So anyways, happy birthday. And you're 21. You can legally drink to the bars now. Congratulations. Go get a beer, Cody. Go get a beer on Jay. Right? You'll pick it up, right?
I don't like to put beer on me. It gets sticky.
All right. It's awkward now. Bye, Cody.
Bye. Hey, you know what? Great segment. I give us an A+ on that. And it's my grade that matters.
Big news in the collectible world. I want to get to the story here. Now, I don't know about... Yeah, everybody...
Marzalyn Monroe. I like that.
That's stupid. I don't know if you had any sort of card collecting loyalty growing up. Yeah, sure, there was Fleer, Donruss, and their rated rookies. But I was a Topps guy growing up. Topps baseball cards.
Oh, that was a thing? Did you proclaim that? Did little Dave proclaim that in elementary school? Like, were you guys gathered on the playground? The Topps guy.
No, I'm just saying you only had so much.
Donruss.
You only had so much money washing cars and stuff. You know, that's how I got my spending money and mowing lawns.
You washed cars and mowed lawns. I find that hard to believe.
Oh, I did. This is a true story. My parents would verify it. I never got an allowance my whole life. Never. Because you're supposed to do, I'm not going to pay you to do normal chores. You have to contribute around the house. Jesus. That would be my
anti-capitalist dad.
Yeah, I got money for doing things above and beyond what my regular chores were. So I would mow lawns in the neighborhood. I washed cars in the neighborhood. I actually washed cars at a Burger King once on my own on an afternoon. I called and the manager said, yeah.
A young entrepreneur.
I really was. And I had a pretty good business at one point. I would get a – this is how old I am. I would get $2 a house. And I would, my job was to go to the houses in our neighborhood and take down their trash cans to be put out every trash day and then put them back up.
So this is like teenager or your young preteen years?
From the time I was like 8 to maybe 14, I was doing this stuff. So,
because I didn't start my entrepreneurship until high school, and boy, did I get in trouble.
No. Well, I also used to sell, remember those atomic fireballs?
Yeah.
I used to sell those at school like I was a little kid drug dealer for a quarter a pop. That was a good profit.
I dubbed porn, and that was a great profit for a while until my mom caught it.
I'm the one that gets yelled at.
I know.
I'm the one that gets
yelled at. No, I'm just saying what happened.
I got you. So you only had so much money to spend, and I would go, and I was a Topps guy. I was a Topps guy through and through. I felt like Fleer and Donruss were like the GoBots, the Hydrox cookie of card collecting. And now I don't understand it.
They were not the name brand cereal.
It's Topps, baby.
They weren't Cheerios. They were Toasted O's.
And the sad thing is that I kept most of my cards. I really did. I still have a ton of them at the house, and none of them are worth anything.
No, that was like the biggest fallacy growing up, man. I was always told as a kid, like, hey, save the cards, especially the rookies.
And I did.
Those are going to be worth thousands of dollars, and I still have them all. And funny part is I have some that are worth that, but here's the thing. In order to get them graded to sell them for that money, you almost have to spend the same money to get them graded as you would to sell them. It's the biggest trash hustle in the world.
So why are we bringing this up? Because Fanatics, which I think started out selling like hats or something, they have grown into an absolute monster. They have cemented a deal with baseball and the Players Association for the exclusive licenses to produce baseball cards. Okay. That means when Panini and Topps licenses expire at the end of 2022, here we go. The deal also includes the National Basketball Association Players Association and the NFL Players Association. They all have equity in this new company they're basically forming. The NBA and NFL deals with Panini expire at the end of 2025 and 2026. So the Topps deal is extended till 2025. So you basically have three and a half more years of Topps cards. And the crazy thing is, Topps went private in 2007 with nearly a $400 million deal. In April, after sales hit $460 and $567 million in 2019 and 2020, Topps announced it was going public again with a special purpose acquisitions company, or SPAC, merger involving Merdrick Capital Acquisition. They valued Topps at $1.3 billion.
Wow.
This morning.
Oh, boy.
Merdrick Capital pulled out of the deal. Topps was going public at $1.3 billion. Their company just got completely destroyed. And I don't know this, but guess who's going to buy Topps for pennies on the dollar? Fanatics.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, and they're going to use the trademark. They're going to use the IP.
Fanatics came in and completely took over the entire sports card market.
And like you said, now they'll put these companies out. They'll buy the IP. It's like when, you know, big movie studios put all the little ones out, bought the IPs. It's like you see Orion Films now again because, again, they have the intellectual property. People know what it is. Smart.
Makes you wonder, though, dude. It makes you wonder. And I'd be curious to talk to some collector experts about this. Does this mean now that all of a sudden the Topps cards and the Panini cards over the next few years now are those collector's items? Is that going to go way, way up in value, much like people's homes are? I mean, just ask Shelby. Or ask the Sacramento Bee. Sacramento Bee put out an article a couple weeks ago I've been telling you about. The amount of equity-rich folks here in the greater Sacramento area. If you've owned a home longer than a year in this area, you got equity. And in most cases, you own your home longer, you've got a lot of equity. Put that equity to use. If you're paying on credit cards, car payments, you got kids in college, you want a new kitchen, you want to add, you know what, I don't need to go through all the things you can use cash out for. You get the point. But right now, they've got rates in the twos. You can get your cash out, then close the whole deal quick. Speaking of closing deals quick, those cash-only offers coming over the top. But people who just want to move into homes. You got the Bay Area folks coming in here. And they want to take advantage of the prices. So they come in and they pay cash. And that screws a lot of people here out of getting the homes they want. Well, Shelby and everybody at refinancewithshelby.com, they can close those deals in under 17 days. And that's as good or better than a cash offer in so many cases. Especially because so many homeowners want to sell to local folk. So do what I did. Do what I did with my family and my mortgage. Go to Shelby at refinancewithshelby.com. That's refinancewithshelby.com. NMLS number 279051. BRE number 01864354.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, we'll wrap up the week with a what's on tap. We got a crossover question from Jason, and we'll have some fun right after this.
Yeah, let's go, come on!
It's what's on tap. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's what's on tap. Brought to you by
Off Brands.
Yeah, Earl's in the YouTube chat, and I totally get what he's saying. He's saying, you know, my Hydrox, and specifically, but Hydrox and GoBots comparisons I like to use are not necessarily as applicable as I'd like, because Hydrox was actually the original cookie that Oreo copied. And not to get too down the rabbit hole of cookies, although I'm always down to do that. That's not the point. The point is that when you look at Oreos now and somebody pulls up with some Hydrox, you're like, okay. Like, it's the off-brand, same as GoBots were for Transformers, the off-brand. A lot of times, brands will supersede the market. And sure. Kleenex is a great example. Band-Aid is a great example. There's many examples Like, if you say, I mean, if you showed somebody a sleeve of Hydrox cookies, unless they're a cookie expert, somebody's going to say, hey, can I have one of those Oreos?
It has been ever since I was a child and still to this
shut
day.
Shut up, Earl.
Every video game system for my parents was a Nintendo.
Right. Right. They're all Nintendos.
What's the greatest off-brand of all time?
I'm old enough to remember when they actually had generic items.
Mm-hmm.
And the generic item was like, it was like a can of beans, but the can was completely yellow. And then in black or white lettering, it just said beans. That's how generic items
used
to be.
Okay, so that's not a brand, though.
The greatest off-brand ever.
Come on.
Nope.
Oh, come on.
Nope. Not doing it. That's just, but boy, is that a funny answer.
Can you say it in my ear? Hello.
Yeah, sure. I'll do that.
Oh, my God. I swear to you. I'm not joking. I literally almost blurted that out. I swear to God.
I'm not doing it.
I almost blurted out Sacramento Kings.
Well, they're going to be an on-brand this year, Jay.
With off night.
The greatest off-brand ever, Davion Mitchell. Oh, baby.
No, the Kings. Davion Mitchell is on brand.
Well, no, because of off night. He's right. On brand with his off night.
Off brand NBA team. I swear we were sharing a brain on that one.
Yeah. What's on tap? There's a lot.
Is Burger King an off brand? Isn't it kind of bootleg McDonald's?
No. I'm a Burger King stan, dude. Love me some Burger King. Your way right away. What do you want? We had a Burger King.
The OG chicken sandwich.
Wife gets the OG chicken sandwich all the time.
That's their best item.
Their new G chicken sandwich I try is actually really good.
I've heard differing opinions.
It's very, very good. I was actually surprised. But I'm give me a Whopper, some of the onion rings.
They have good onion rings. They have good fries.
You know what's
I like their chicken fries.
I was just going to say it's the most underrated item on the menu is the chicken. Wow, we just gave them a whole plug. Giants A's at the Oakland Coliseum. 6:40 is your first pitch, but coverage starting at 6 right here on the Sporty 1140. Alex Wood, James Caprillion on the mound there. Also, we've got NFL this weekend. Mainly, what do we care about in this market? Well, there's only one team in Northern California, and that is the San Francisco 49ers. Sorry, Raider fan, but that's just what happened. Niners Chargers Sunday Eve, or should I say late afternoon, 4:30. Niners, weirdly enough, favored by 5.5 in that one. The Raiders and Rams get to take their practice scuffle on the field at 7 o'clock on Saturday night.
Settle it like men in the preseason.
Mm-hmm. That's at Sophie Stadium. I call it Sophie.
Hey, Sophie. My parents' dog's name is Sophie.
Is that so?
Fun fact.
That's a great fact. I did not know. All right, crossover time. How about that?
Who is it?
What's happening on the afternoons with Jason Ross?
Who was the boss?
Let's find out right now with the crossover.
Here's today's crossover.
Hey, guys. Time for the crossover. And special guest, Michelle Dapper, is still here.
Daps.
Hi, guys. Hey. Just want to say thanks for the kind words. And, Dave, I love that you mentioned Nacho because Nacho always will have a special place in my heart.
Yeah. Yes. Well, being that Michelle was our guest, it's also Michelle's birthday. I hope you guys have been able to sing happy birthday to her. It's your birthday coming up.
Yep. Leo season, Dave. We know about that.
There you go. Right. So Dave and Jay, the question is going to our guest, Michelle Dapper. Fire away.
Yes, Dave. So I know you know about RVs, right? So if you were going to have three people from KCRA take a road trip with you in that RV, who would they be?
I think that's the easiest answer in the history, in the absolute history, the history of this whole deal. Michelle Dapper, Lisa Gonzalez, Deirdre Fitzpatrick. There's no other answer.
I find...
Apologies, Dell. Apologies, Golston. Apologies, Mark.
I find no flaws in your logic.
Come on! Let me tell you something, dude. That would be, like, we just got to know Deirdre a little bit this year, and we really much had a ton of fun with her. I've gotten to know Michelle over the last few years, and obviously I love her to death. She's just cool beans as cool mm-hmm. as cool can get. I've known Lisa Gonzalez forever. I've known Lisa Gonzalez, and I went to high school with a lot of the same people.
Wow.
I go way back. Like
OG Sacramento Media.
OG.
Huh?
Like, I go way, way back with Lisa. And we have a lot of – both of us grew up with Uriah. She lived down the street from him. Like, Lisa is – How do I say this? Lisa is like Lisa Gonzalez is like a brother to me, and I mean that in the sense that she's like a brother. She's like a sister. Like she in any situation.
Why didn't you go with sister? Why brother?
Because both. Because Lisa is.
Because I'm totally isolating. Lisa Gonzalez is like a brother to me.
Lisa Gonzalez can hang in any crowd, in any situation, in any environment, and just kick butt in everything. Not that a sister couldn't. Not that a brother couldn't. It's just we have all these dumb stereotypes out there. And I'm saying Lisa's just a cool person. She's truly one of my favorite people in the world.
Also, just totally isolating Lisa Gonzalez is like a brother
to
me.
Well, that doesn't have contacts, Jay.
Isn't that the point of isolating the audio?
Do you,
I wasn't asked the question. I'm not going to answer it.
Do you disagree in any way, shape, or form?
No, I said I find no flaw in your logic.
You. How much time do we have left? I just want
Minute 20.
Okay. Crossover question. This is a two-parter. I'm going to direct one question to you, Jason, and one question to you, Katie. Also, I want to apologize to Jay Johnson. Yesterday I said bring Chris in. I don't know why I didn't say Jay. Jay, I love you, and I apologize for that. As always, all can participate. Jason, we were reading the story today that Fanatics is taking over for Topps in a few years. Topps is completely out of the market. And the question is this. When you were collecting cards as a child, I had a brand loyalty to Topps was the point. Did you have a brand loyalty to a specific type of card from a specific company? Or were you all over the place? Katie, hope you had a great time hosting the program. Katie, I have a couple of questions for you. This is baseball. Katie, please define for me the following abbreviations in baseball. CG, BB, and IP. See, this is an inside joke. This goes back a long way. And Katie's going to be very upset with me about this. But I love you, Katie. And I love you, Jason.
And hi, Katie. You're my favorite. Okay, bye.
Wow. Kiss and butt. For Jay, I'm Dave. Have a great weekend, everybody. Go Giants. Go Kings. See you Monday. Bye-bye now.